I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Rugby Weekly.
Getting the first pass, and
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the 42 Rugby Weekly. Hope you're having an absolutely smashing week so far, and hope you're looking forward to a weekend of winter pros, as I've just seen them described by the Leinster Twitter account. I'm a little bit jealous that I haven't come up with that myself, actually, over, 9 years of working in media. But we've got two massive games coming up in the ORC this weekend. Listen, above all else, I hope you're in absolute cruise control towards the holidays. I appreciate if you work in, say, a hospital or work in retail, things like that, you might not have as much time off as a lot of people over the coming days. But if you are one of those lucky few, I hope you're enjoying this little bit of a freewheel towards the finish line. I can tell you a couple of lads who work with me who will remain nameless certainly are, because I'm on my own, which means I'm going to throw you to a couple of conversations we had on Rugby Weekly Extra this week for the 42 subscribers. Thankfully, over the course of chats with Bernard Jackman, Murray Kinsella, James Tracy, we've sort of been reviewing the fortunes of the provinces in Europe, and in doing so, looking ahead to these games almost via osmosis, really. So plenty in there for the 42 subscribers over those two podcasts. It's the 42.ie/extra. If you want to take a look there, you can sign up. There's a brilliant Christmas gift offer as well. It's all there for you. And as I say, we were reviewing the performances of Leinster, Munster, Connacht, Ulster across those games in Europe. We began on Monday chatting to Bernard Jackman about Leinster's lineout, which was a wrinkle, certainly, in that victory over Clermont. And as tends to be the case, sometimes on the Monday pod, we started with a quite specific plan of, a plan of speaking about one specific area. And between Birch and Murray, we broadened it out to have a little bit of a wider chat about that line out, the issues that not only Leinster, but say Munster and Ireland even have been having in recent months with it. You think back to, say, the second test against South Africa in the summer, Ireland looked pretty tidy. But other than that, it has been a bit of a complication for them. And obviously, there is a fair bit of crossover between the Irish line out and that of Leinster's. So Birch had his theories as we tried to figure all of this out. This was a conversation between himself, Murray, and myself on Monday on Rugby Weekly Extra about lineout and our lineout culture, or lack thereof, in this country.
So, and I think the failing here is that whatever, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, we have failed to develop really astute lineout callers. And you're seeing it at the weekend where once the initial plan doesn't go to, doesn't work, there was an inability to problem solve, you know, on the field from the array of line of callers that Leinster had. And we just looked rattled and on edgy. And that's fair, it's not just Leinster. Munster can be the same when Pete's not in the field. You know, Connacht and Fairness have a couple of good line of callers, but they're not, unfortunately, in the Irish mix at the moment. So it's an issue for them. They're obviously going to have to fix it. I don't know if Leo had handed over that responsibility to Robin, but there's going to have to be a lot of work done to develop. And in fairness, Ireland will benefit from it too, because if Joe McCarthy or James Ryan, Ryan Baird, we know, is into it, but obviously he's been injured. It's going to be a massive help to them and in terms of their selection prospects for Ireland, but also in terms of helping Ireland win quality ball and Leinster win quality ball as well. So it's just not slick at the moment. There's two not straight, but in general, some good defence, to be fair, some good defence to Clermont. But I think that's the challenge now, is that teams look at Leinster's line out and think, right, we can win ball here. And they're actually using the same type of system that Leinster are using, whereas they're just blocking off areas of the field, areas of the line out. But Leinster just seem to not be smart enough in terms of being able to stim well quality ball.
When it comes to not having that Ross Maloney type figure, is it the case that you can turn to somebody like James Ryan or whoever you believe is going to be the constant or the most routinely featured player in that pack and say, like, you need to take ownership of this, like actually adjust your focus towards building this menu for us, become the lineout guru that we've lost?
Yeah, but like it's a skill, like place kicking is a skill. You know, it's not something you can just You can give it to somebody this week and give them a menu, and it could work fine. But it's when it's the ability to stay composed when the first couple haven't gone well, when the defense are doing something that you didn't expect them to do, you know, with the noise, be able to keep everybody else calm and composed. And like look, Devin Toner, the three best that I played with were Paul O'Connell. So Paul had his system. Paul had absolute respect from everybody. Paul had a way of giving you a look. He never had to give out to you because you would just do the job right. You know, he would train you during the week to do the job right. He would train the lifters to do the job right. Everybody was on the same page. And then, worst case scenario, he'd back himself to win it one-on-one. You know, and that's the issue for Leinster a little bit at the moment is that they kind of have to find space to be able to win clean line-up ball. Whereas Paul was able to be marked by Ben Kay was opposite Paul with a lifting pod. Paul has his lifting pod, and Paul would just back himself to win it in the air through his speed of jump and the throw from Flannery in general, who had a very fast throw. Or Rory Best as well had a very flat direct throw. So speed was key. Devin would back himself to win it marked up because he was 4 inches taller, you know, and when you add the leverage, probably at 6 inches, so Dev could go up against somebody. And then Leo wasn't really quick in the air, wasn't really tall, but was unbelievably good at organising a lineout that would find space. So there are three different. And now I look at Leinster's lineout, I look at Ireland's lineout, maybe Munster's lineout at certain times as well, and I don't see a dominant lineout brain there. You know, and part of the issue here, Gav, is that when you're looking at kids in school, you're not bringing a kid from the academy or in the youth program. You're not putting him into the academy because he's a brilliant lineup caller. You know what I mean? You're actually going, oh, is he a good athlete? Is he going to grow another 2 inches? Is he going to be able to put on 10 kilos? Is he aggressive? And that's the issue, is that probably there has been good lineup callers in our system, but a lack of athleticism probably meant that they've dropped away. So now you have to basically hope that you have an athlete who has that ability to be a good lineup caller, or you have to coach him to do it. And the coaching part isn't simple because you have to stick with him for a long time. They have to want to do it. And a lot of them are happier just catching the balls that are thrown in their area rather than actually having to take responsibility for it.
Yet another problem. Delightful. Happy Monday.
No, it's just a problem we have today.
Yeah.
It's a problem we have today.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. And it is kind of a cultural challenge, isn't it? Like, you're so right, Birch. Because we in Irish rugby are so obsessed with trying to get the best athletes to match up to other nations, those specialists maybe fall away and there just isn't that culture. Whereas in French rugby, there is a big line-out culture and a massive scrum culture, and there's major respect for those areas of the game, even when you're a kid. Like in France, often it'll be a back row. It'll be that line-out forward in the back row who's calling and running the line-out. But there's several options in most squads to do that job. Guys who absolutely prioritise the set piece as part of their week. You look at someone like Billy Holland in Munster who did that. And often it's the guys who aren't the most athletically gifted and who have to compensate for but by being a specialist in that area. So it probably goes down at a good few levels. And now Ireland are in this weird spot where Ryan was seen as the long-term successor. He called the Ireland line-out as the primary caller for quite a while. And then it moved to Tadhg Byrne, who hadn't always been a line-out caller and had learned this skill more recently. And so now you're in that position where it's not really clear who the owner of that Irish line-out is, and maybe Leinster are in a similar position. But for them, week to week, they've got to be very quick improvements and they've got to be better at adjusting. I think you flagged it really well, Birch. They in Ireland don't seem to be great at making kind of bailout calls when they're in the line-out, when they're marked up. And when the space isn't there, your drill has to be perfect. And their drill probably isn't at the moment. They're just a little bit slow with their movement. The throws aren't always perfect. And that's when you get picked off by a good defensive team like Dermot. They did a really good job, in fairness. And there's several guys in their pack who I'd say live and breathe line-out stuff and did a lot of work on that. And that's what I come back around to. It was great to see that battle. Obviously frustrating for Leinster fans, but it was a really, again, we're going to have that chat about the Champions Cup, but it was a proper Champions Cup game. And I know Clermont will probably struggle to compete for this competition at the top end, but It'd be brilliant to have them back in the mix. They've put themselves in a good spot to try and kick on now, and they play Bath and Bristol in January, and you'd love to see them drive on as well, because they gave a proper test to a good Leinster team here.
Just to put into context before you move on from lineouts, what it takes to become an expert to the degree of Ross Maloney or Peter O'Mahony or Dara Murray or somebody like that. Like, I remember doing a piece on O'Mahony when he was named as Lions captain for the, was it the first test in 2017? And his buddy Kellogg's was telling me that when they were growing up in Cork, and they both went to Prez, after the junior cert, Peter O'Mahony had that Prez team in over their summer holidays working on lineouts, because that was the age where you were first able to lift. So it's always been under 16. Obviously, under 16 has changed since to Junior Cup, but at this stage it would have been the Bone Shield and Munster. And, like, you know, Pete's teammates could not believe that they were getting this text, like, that they were going to have to go in and work on this. But he wanted a head start on it before they were even taught how to do it by their coaches the following September. And they worked on it, I think, twice a week all summer. And it's sort of points to what you're saying, boys, about how it needs to be like an area of focus for an individual from schools or club level when you're a teenager. Like, just make it your thing.
It's a real basis of the game. It's where the highest percentage of tries come from. It's where you get platforms to get out of your own half. It's where the opposition get momentum. If it's failing, you can launch your maul. You've got to be good on defensive mauls as well. So it's absolutely pivotal to any part of the game. And despite Leinster's completely malfunctioned, they still had enough.
Bernard Jackman and Murray Kinsella there on Monday's Rugby Weekly Extra. On Wednesday, I caught up with James Tracy, who had his own theories about Leinster's lineup, by the way, which was really, really interesting. But I'm going to throw it forward to something James was saying about Munster, which was that he basically felt as though they're not a million miles away from where they need to be, which wasn't actually my interpretation of their performance against Cast whatsoever. So some interesting thoughts from James here, and we sort of finished up our conversation by looking ahead to their visit to Belfast on Friday night. So here was James Tracy on Wednesday's Rugby Weekly Extra.
Hey, Tom Farrell's definitely had a big part in that, in adding little offloads and breaking the play up a little bit. For me, genuinely, it's just tightening up off of the back of that forward pod of what they're doing, and it's like it'll make such a difference to everything else they do. And I think the final thing then is those bridge passes and just passing on the edge in general would be like they have good ball carriers, and they have some exciting guys in their backfield. I think Nash has been class in the air for them. So it's just tidying up the little things, and it'll make a huge difference to them.
They are travelling to Ulster on Friday night, which is going to be an absolutely cracking game, because you've two teams who need a win in terms of the table, who need a win probably in terms of just recent results, immediately recent results, I mean. And on paper, it kind of feels like 50-50, James. I'm wondering, do you have any inclination as to which way that one might go based on what you've seen of Ulster and Munster in recent weeks?
I'd be leaning towards Munster. I feel like they've had better momentum this season. I think they're in a good spot. Like, I really felt like they should have won that game on the weekend. As frustrating as it was when I watched it back, it was like it was little errors that killed them. And like every, you know, one of the Cask scores came off of a really good attacking opportunity for Munster, where they did something poor and not like substandard for them. You know, like the very first try, you know, all comes from or stems from a missed touch from Crowley, and all of a sudden they're in their half for 10 minutes and eventually give up a score. And then, you know, there was 3 points where Munster on the 5 meter line, and just like all moments where they have been so clinical in the past and can be clinical again. And I just feel like they will rectify them, you know, and like the second Cast try was Crowley kicks it out on the full, and all of a sudden they're back in defending again. I actually thought Nash got taken out in the air off the box kick from that. And the only part that I'd say Munster would be frustrated with was kind of maybe turning their backs and letting the quick tap happen without being ready for it. But again, Cast are a good side, and it's going to happen, and mistakes are going to happen, but I feel like a lot of them were caused by basic stuff that Munster usually so tight on, and I feel like it's there's not that much for them to fix to get back to their winning ways.
Yeah, because like when you say they're in, you think they're in a good spot, I was going to immediately be like, what? but
like they obviously have it. Like they've there was the disaster in terms of injuries in the weekend. I think that's obvious to say. But I what I'm talking about is what I'm seeing in their attack. I don't think is that big of a fix really to be in a way better spot. What I'm seeing to do with their scrum, like I don't think it was a complete disaster. Obviously the amount of penalties isn't great, but I, like from fundamentally from what I was looking at on the weekend, there was probably two scrums where they got absolutely dominated. But again, if you don't get the hit and you don't get your setup right against a big pack like that, that's going to happen. But you can have a great day and get dominated in two scrums. Like I've had plenty of scrum sessions as the starters versus whatever, and you get dominated for the first five scrums and you figure it out. But my point being, I don't think it was as bad as a performance as maybe you know, my first initial reaction was.
That was James Tracy on Wednesday's Rugby Weekly Extra. For those full podcasts, head to the42.ie/extra. I'm going to leave you be for the time being. Enjoy those winter pros. We will be back for subscribers on Monday to review them. And we will be back again the following week reviewing the second batch of them. So plenty to come over Christmas from us. Plus, if you do sign up, you get all you get full access to all of Murray Kinsella's analysis of those games, Kieran Kennedy's as well, and everything else, all of the sports that you're looking for over the course of these 10 days or so. I will chat to you soon. In the meantime, have a great one. Mind yourselves. Take it easy. You're always talking about the boys in a better land. The boys in a better land.